Tie with Wales by Michael Bailey. My father wasn't Welsh. He was born in Kent. But he was named David, so this is his story for St. David's Day. He was the middle of five children of Harold, known as Harry, and May Bailey. Mother May's maiden name was West, an unfortunate coincidence that resulted for my dad in a number of playground bloody noses following taunts of come up and see me sometime. My David Bailey was born just after the end of World War I. Father Harry's job as a farm worker, a reserved occupation, had excused him active service, though I believe two of his brothers gave their lives for king and country in that erroneously titled War to End All Wars. By the time he was 15, David's school days were past and a lifetime of farm work, carrying hundredweight sacks of wheat up the granary steps of Uncle Walter's farm, stretched ahead. My father was having none of that. He followed in the footsteps of his elder brother, another Harry, and ran away to sea. He lied about his age and joined the Royal Navy in time to see, or rather hear, his first enemy action on a gunboat up the River Yangtze as the Boxer Rebellion broke out. He mistook the gunfire coming his way for the sound of firecrackers. My father David's fatalistic attitude towards being in the line of fire stayed with him throughout the Second World War. If a shell has your name on it, it has your name on it, and if it doesn't, it doesn't, so there's no point in worrying, was all he said. He was C of E, of simple faith, yet he rarely went to church. He said he saw too many sky pilots pushing others out of the way at the first sign of trouble, that they were always the first to rush to save their own skins. Lord, give me eternity, but not yet, we can imagine them saying. Actually, I think his reticence to attend services had more to do with the fact that the smell and sound of church brought back memories of being there as a child with his mum, and that made him cry. Dad's war took him from convoy duty in the icy expanse of the Scarpa Flow, dodging U-boats and hacking frozen spray off the rigging and ship's superstructure to stop it capsizing, to the claustrophobia of the Mediterranean, escaping from one side of Crete as German paratroopers landed on the other. He didn't talk much about the war, but once he did tell me about the morning he and his shipmates had been waiting for breakfast while stranded on Crete following the beaching of their torpedoed cruiser HMS Cumberland, when a German fighter plane, an ME-109, strafed them with cannon shell, driving them into their foxholes. After a day of keeping their heads down, an officer called for volunteers to retrieve the abandoned breakfast. David and a friend had no hesitation. We ate cold scrambled eggs with our fingers before we took the rest back to the others. It tasted so good, he remembered. What has all this to do with Wales? I'm coming to it. During David's 25 years in the Royal Navy, he served on several ships. The one that provides a link with Wales was F-129, HMS Rhyl. It was the frigate on which he made his final year-long voyage away from seven-year-old me and my mum at the end of his seafaring in 1961. I remember attending a wedding in Wales many years later in the 1980s. Waking up on the morning of the ceremony to discover I'd travelled without packing a tie to wear. By chance, the town of Rhyl was less than an hour's drive away from the place where I was staying. It seemed a great opportunity to pay homage to the place my father's last ship had been named after. So, making a virtue of necessity, off to Rhyl I went. I can't remember much about Rhyl, except that it was a dull and unimpressive town, seemingly caught in a time warp, somewhere in the 1960s. It took some time to find the only shop that sold ties. I can still remember the relief of finding that shop and the tie I bought there. It had a bright angular pattern in Art Deco style, predominantly yellow and green with some red. A happy, upbeat tie for a wedding. I wore it frequently thereafter and still have it somewhere, though I hadn't thought of it or remembered how I came to buy it for many years. Indeed, I can't clearly remember the last time I wore any tie. I guess it must have been for my dad's memorial service 7 years ago. To me, my dad was and is a saint, patient, wise, and gentle. Conveniently, St. David's Day is my late dad's name day and provides a national connection with his last ship. Are there any other tenuous links with Wales? Well, his birthday was in February, the month of daffodils, and from time to time he enjoyed a boiled leek served with a cheese sauce. Happy name day, Dad.